Thank the Lord for salvation this morning, and I do desire your prayers. The Lord would help us today. I'd like to read in the book of Luke, the 16th chapter. And the 19th verse. My thought that I have this morning is justice and mercy versus fairness. It's more of a lesson than a message. It's something that I feel like that as time goes on, we need to know where our anchor is at. And we need to have a reminder once in a while of what we believe in. And, you know, in a world that's calling good evil and evil good, we need to have our minds refreshed. We need to know where we stand, and we need to have a sense of direction. When I would train pigeons, I would find that if I always sent these young birds that hadn't been out a while and didn't know their way around, I'd put some old birds in there with them. They'd follow the old birds and come home. They wouldn't always know where they was going, but they would follow the older ones and they'd get home. We need something more than just our own set of directions. We have to stay close to the Bible. If we don't stay close to the Word of God, we're going to find ourselves in who knows where. Who knows what kind of rules and regulations. Who knows what kind of things we'll fall prey to if we don't stay close to God and His Word. I want to ask you this morning, was it fair for Lazarus to be poor like he was? Was it fair? In a world that we live in today, there's so much said about being fair. I'm sorry, but I just hate to hear some people say, well, that isn't fair. I don't know, it just does something to me. Well, that isn't fair. And it isn't fair that you got all of that and I don't have anything. It isn't fair. Well, was it fair for Lazarus to sit there at the rich man's gate and beg for food? Let's read this story. A certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass, the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. You know, this story has such a meaning, such a thought to it. You think, well, was it fair that he sat there and he was afflicted with the sores? I don't know his mobility. It doesn't sound like he was able to get around too well, because a man that was able to get around, you know, would probably, like some of the panhandlers do around different places, they move from corner to corner. But Lazarus probably wasn't able to do that, because he wasn't even able to shoo off the dogs and get them away from himself. He wasn't able to keep them from licking his sores. So he was probably in a very dire situation. People looking on, here's a rich man who said he was dressed in fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. And all Lazarus was wanting was a few crumbs. And to look on that You know, there'd be people of our land today that might say, well, what we need to do is make it all equal, and nobody makes more than the other. And everybody is just on the same page. If you're a doctor, you make a certain amount of money. And if you're a lawyer, you make a certain amount. And just kind of keep things all balanced. While we were in Russia one time, there was we picked up on a slogan that they had. You pretend to pay us and we'll pretend to work. Not everybody's motto, but a good part of the people. You pretend to pay us and we'll pretend to work. You know, I want to ask you something this morning. Is it fair what is going on in our world? Let me just get down. I've got about 10 or 11 or 12 different things that I picked up out of a book that I read. So I want to tell you all this is not originally mine. Okay? So you can, whatever you want to think about that. But it's good, and I want you to listen to this. Justice is based on the universal, unchangeable principle of God's Word. Fairness is based on the variable customs of a society and the changing will of the majority. I want to look back now in the book of Isaiah, the 59th chapter. Isaiah, the 59th chapter, there's quite a bit of reading here. So I'll start. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, 59:1, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their web shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity. And the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not. There is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us. Neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth. And he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. When I read this scripture, I think about where people and where we as a nation have gotten ourselves into. We've got into a lot of different situations. Do you know, it is very difficult for sometimes our police officers, our law enforcement, to want to arrest somebody. it's difficult sometimes because they know in their mind, I risk my life going up to the door to serve a warrant or to serve some kind of papers to them. I might get shot. And the thing about it is when I risk my life and I give it to them, they will be out of jail before the end of the day. The laws are based in such a way that criminals are protected. And I want to tell you, it makes it difficult on a law enforcement officer sometimes to do his job. They know it's a difficult place to be in. When judgment and justice are departing in a culture or society, listen, it's the makings of trouble. He said equity cannot even enter. Equity, that part where there's not a law for something specifically, there's not a specific law for something, but equity, the fairness of something, you'll have equity that will come in and it will say, well, there's a punishment for this. This is not exactly that, but what is really will compensate for that measure of crime, we'll do this. But equity, not having the right system and keep the things in check, folks, our system, our government, our world, our life can get so far out of order. When you let things get out of balance in a home, when you let things get so far out of balance in a home, a husband and wife can't get along together. And there's a lax there. There's something that's going on. And there's problems. There's troubles. They don't get along with each other. Children are affected. Children are stirred up. They don't know hardly what's right and wrong. Mom and daddy go to church, but yet there's just something that's not conquered. There's something, and they can't figure it out. It leaves children discouraged. It leaves children in a place that they don't know what to do. They see mom and dad, and they're not getting along. And let me tell you, in our what keeps us together as a people of God, there are things that hold us together that we need to treasure those things very highly. Because when we get off and when we begin to operate in a legalistic way, we begin as a husband to say, you will obey me. You will do what I say. I will make you do this. The Bible says, and I will take that authority. Listen, there gets to be some big, huge problems when that happens. There is a real problem when I see men that don't take their responsibilities, when they don't do what God has commanded them to do and they get off, it throws the whole family circle off. Right. I want to encourage you men to stay in the place the Lord designed for you to stay in. Stay in your place and things will work well in the harmony of the home. In the structure of the home, things will work well. But when you get out of your place, you can expect trouble on every hand. There will be problems that pop up from nowhere, from everywhere. Things will happen. So may God help us today. If you can imagine here, it said, we mourn sore like doves. We roar as, he said, all like bears and mourn sore like doves. And we look for judgment, but it's just not there. Things just are not clicking like they should. I tell you, when our spiritual life gets unbalanced, there's problems that come about. Amen. And I think this morning, rather than shouting over our problems and acting like they're not there, we need to address things and take care of things. Because if you're expecting the ministry and you're expecting the church governing authorities, you're expecting people to put you in line, let me tell you, it's a difficult thing. I'm not in the business. I'm sorry. I can't fix all the problems. But I want to say when we stay close to God and we keep close to His Word and His ways, things will work in the church. Husbands and wives will get along with each other. Children will get along with each other. Brethren will get along with each other. Things will work right. What we have is a world today that is looking on, and they are trying to make everything fair. Fairness doesn't... Well, please listen to these few things I have. Justice establishes guilt when God's standards are violated. Let's look in Matthew 5, 21 and 23. Would someone please read that for me? Also 12 and 36 of Matthew. Would someone read that? Remember this little saying, justice establishes guilt when God's standards are violated. 5:21 through 23, Brother Michael, if you don't mind.
You heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment.
Mm-hmm.
But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift.
Amen. I believe we need to keep the principles of God's word. It establishes guilt when the standards are violated. If you have aught against your brother, there's a procedure, there's a way to take care of that. There's something to follow. And when we follow those principles, things will work. Matthew 12 and 36, would someone please read that for us?
But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment.
Yes. Every idle word, everything is going to be brought. In fact, our works are going to be compared to Christ in the judgment. What he did and how he overcame, our works and our ways are going to be put in the same balance as his. So he said here, your idle words, you be careful with what you say. Be careful. When God says there's something wrong with that, be assured there's something wrong with it. Idle words, be careful of that. On the other hand, if we said justice establishes guilt, what does fairness do? It tries to remove guilt by lowering God's standards. So what we have in our penal system, what is going on, I'll mention this just a little bit later. We are trying to say that in our justice system, the world is coming to the mindset of the world. Where is it headed? What's it doing? I tell you, it's trying to remove this guilt. It is trying its best to remove the guilt. You know, saying you're just a product of your society. There was a judge in Wisconsin that ruled in a case where a young man had abused a girl. And he said this boy was subject to so much stimuli and things, he was not guilty. And was let go. You see that what the world is going after in a short time, if we're not careful, those things can creep in among us. We can say, well, you know, we got to consider now. We got to consider this is what happened to them. This is the way they grew up. And all that. Be careful, folks. I see something. I have a burden in my heart today. There's things that's happening. This fairness business is just trying to creep in, and it's getting closer all the time. And be careful, because we're all affected by it. I don't care what year you were born in, we're all affected. There's things that is coming against us today. The mindset of the world, where are we headed? Well, it's not good. Justice causes, this is the third thing, justice causes us to confess our failures and plead for mercy. That's why we have an altar here this morning. That's why we have the gospel preached. It's not to excuse ourselves. It's not something, the gospel isn't made to just pat people on the back and say, oh, you're okay, you're okay. Don't say anything, that you're okay, you're fine. That's not the way the Lord treated me. It was like, James, you're guilty. You've done some things. You've committed sins. You're guilty of things. And it caused me to feel what I need a Savior. I need someone to help me. This fairness deal. Look, on the other hand, if we stop confessing our failures, and the Bible in the book of James says, if you know, for a man to confess his faults one to another and pray for one another, when we lose that part among us, there's something that it takes off, and it leaves a void, and there leaves something in the church that it's not good. It's not good for us to feel like that all the time we're just this fluffy, we're just this little spiritual person all the time. No, there's some places we heard Brother Carl, I believe, mentioned last night, and others, and I've mentioned it. All of us probably have mentioned different things. There's some failures we had in our life, and I'm sorry. They caused me trouble, and I need God's help. I need God's help. The mindset of the world is going different, folks, than what we are. I'm telling you, it's different. Things are changing. We need to have this justice and judgment and mercy still prevailing and still working among us today. The Lord bless us. Fairness causes us to justify our failures so that we do not think we have done anything wrong. Isn't there scripture that says there's people that wipe their mouth and say, I didn't do anything wrong, and was doing wicked things? Oh, no, not me. Not me. There's one time a spirit that was going around close to the camp of the saints, and some of you might remember this, that any time someone got afflicted, there was sin in their life. And so I know this brother that went to this man that was had started that, and this man had gotten sick, and they had missed him from work and things, and he went by to check on him. And he got over there to check on him, and he said, well, I've heard you've been sick. And he said, not me, brother. Not me. No, I'm not saying it to be funny. I'm telling you, there's a spirit that can try to justify ourselves. And it's wrong. It's wrong to say, for a person to grow up in a home and always thinking you're right. Well, you're always right. It didn't happen that way in my home. And I hope it's not happening in yours, that everybody's right. Nobody's wrong. Everybody's right. We're all just right. We're just all right here. We're all right. Don't you understand? We're all right. There are some little bell devils, and there were some things they was doing that was wrong. I tell you this morning, if we're not careful, we talk about the spirit of the world, but I can see how things can creep in. I can see how things start. This scripture said you're going to be judged by your words that you speak. And if any man has aught, or and you call and you say something to your brother, you say, Reka, you know, you're in danger. You're saying to him, you fool, there's no hope for your soul. Hey, there's a penalty to be paid by transgressing God's law. Our world is saying, we're all okay. The Beatles had the old song, we all live in a yellow submarine. How crazy. Oh my. This world, folks, is going the opposite direction from God. We need to keep established some principles, some bounds and limits. You know, the Mosaic Law, it established limits on behaviors. And it was good to keep man in check. And it's still good today. It's still, people say, oh, that's the old law. We don't need the old law. Oh, yes, we do. We need that. Treating people fairly, having laws and having limits on human behavior is necessary. Turn people loose and just say, well, you're all okay. There's nothing wrong with you. Just you all bless you and go on your way. And trouble lurks at the door this morning. God help us. The fourth thing, justice and mercy are based on personal responsibility to a holy God, and they will produce a revival in a nation. You tell people their responsibilities, you'll have revival. You tell people their rights, and you'll have riots. You'll have people coming apart at the seams and doing all kinds of things. I tell you, our world is a perverted place. It is. We need the help of God. We need to know the personal responsibility that we have. How many people, how many criminals get there and say, well, this is the way my mom and dad did it. This is what they did, and they taught me this, and I'm just going on just what they did. You know, in the Old Testament, there was a situation where the prophet told him, he said, this old thing that you've been saying, the sour grapes theory, our teeth are set on edge because our fathers ate sour grapes. They ate those grapes and our teeth are set on edge. They was blaming their parents for their actions. And he said, you're not going to be able to do this no more. You're not going to be able to blame people for your problems anymore. You can't hold on to this old sour grapes theory. People say, well, it's not my fault. I just did. That's just the way I was raised. We all have a personal responsibility. Every one of us. We get away from that and just... You can go to all the counseling schools. You can learn all kinds of ways to deal with people. But I'm telling you, personal responsibility and getting back to that accountability factor, we have to have that. If we don't, all the counsel, all the things we try to tell people, well, now, you try next time. You try next time that you do this, you know, to just not do it so much. And you don't do it so much like you've been doing. No, just do a little bit. And then next time, do a little less. And, oh, the Lord help us today. What we need is to understand this personal accountability that we have. I am responsible for my actions. I'm responsible for what happens. The buck stops here. It's not shifted to my parents. It's not shifted to my people I'm around. Stop believing that. Stop acting like that. And take personal responsibility. It's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not my brother or sister. It's me. I'm the one that is responsible for this situation that's happened. If we want revival to break out, we have to have the personal accountability. It's got to be there. With not, it's there's nothing there. The fifth thing, justice is based on protecting eternal values. Fairness is based on protecting temporal values. Think about it for a moment. I told you all this wasn't for me. And you might say, well, if it didn't come from the Bible, I'm not believing it. Well, what part of this do you not believe? Ask yourself, justice is based on protecting eternal values. What we hold sacred and dear is under attack.
That's true.
I'm telling you, folks, there's things could happen. We are so vulnerable. We're in a place that our world is not conducive to righteousness, and things that we believe in, people don't believe at all in what we believe in. Things can go the opposite direction. I just rebuke the devil this morning that is against our value system, against what we believe. People come up with all kinds of crazy things sometimes. I heard this real Joel Osteen, and I know some of you, don't mention his name, I like his books. But when he's talking about Paul needed to be reproved of what he said in some of his writings, and John and some of them needed to be reproved, I thought, oh, you've done stepped too far, Mr. Oh, you've done gone too far. I can't go along. I don't care how many good things you said. I don't believe it. Our eternal values and things we hold dear are being attacked every single day. Things are being taken away from us. Things are being chiseled out. The boards, everything is the structure. If they can, they'll destroy the footings, the foundation, everything. The book of Psalms said, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? He said, the Lord's still in His holy throne. He's still in His holy temple. And He's controlling. He knows what's going on in this old wicked world. Oh, today, I believe God wants to help us each one to protect things, the eternal values, things that are we hold dear to us. We hold dear the sacredness of marriage. We hold that as something very, very dear. A man and a woman. We hold that dear. A husband and wife, they are meant to be. That is God's plan. In the beginning, He created male and female. And He created those two to get to live together in harmony, to marry, to have children. This is part of things we hold dear. It's under attack. People can marry their dog. They can marry their horse. They can marry. What's happening in our world is, if we can break down the family structure, if we can chisel away to the, you know, the Dutch Reformed Church of South Africa says they have come to a point where they don't know the definition of marriage. We're just going to have to agree to disagree. We really don't know. Dutch Reformed Church, South. You ought to read some of the things that's happening. What we hold sacred and dear is so much under attack today. God help us. Judgment and mercy versus fairness. Fairness. Watch out for that word. You want to be fair now. You want to be fair. You know, I believe that when God has His way, things will be right. Amen. Poor old Lazarus laid there every day at that man's end of his steps, and he just begged for food. You know, he might have been watching, oh, I smell hot rolls. Yes. Oh, look what's coming here. And he might have watched them carry those big, huge plates of fruit. They carried them in. They're headed to Lazarus' table. If one of them would bounce off, I'd be so grateful. People looking on, evidently a lot of people was watching that and they couldn't care less. Here's another beggar. But Lazarus was gaining something every day. He might have been thinking, the bread of life. The bread of life. Oh, I've got something that tastes better than that. I've got something down in my heart. Because one day he died, and there was a company of angels that was saying, go down there and pick him up. Go down there and get him now. He's gone. Go pick him up. And all those angels were dispatched and picked him up. Come on home. Come on. Those dogs ain't going to get you up here. Come on. Those boys, all those things, those runny sores and all your hunger and everything. Come on home. And wasn't it something that Lazarus, it said he died. He died. Somebody else picked him up, carried him away, and it separated so far. In our world today, we look at things and we say, oh, that's not fair. But you know, God knew exactly what He's doing. He wanted us to think of this story today. Was it fair? Is that really fair? Oh, yes. We are looking not at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, they are eternal. May God help us today. The sixth thing, justice emphasizes personal responsibility. Maybe I read this. Fairness emphasizes personal rights. So let's go to number seven. Justice is the expression of God's wisdom for a nation, and its application will lead to prosperity. So with that, let's read in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. And we'll start reading here 1 through 14. I'll try to hurry along. 28, 1 through 14 in Deuteronomy. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, and he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways, and all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. The Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, and in fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain of the land in his season, and bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend to many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Thank God for this today. He said so many wonderful things. I'm going to bless your families. I'm going to bless the work of your hands. I'm going to bless what you possess. I'm going to bless you. I want to make you the head and not the tail. I'm going to give you direction. I'm going to give you so many blessings if you follow my commandments. We need that. God's wisdom for our nation and its application will lead people to prosperity. It'll help them in the needs of their life. He said, your families will increase. You'll have an abundance here and you'll have this there. You'll have all these things if you follow diligently after me. But you leave off this part of necessary, the judgments of God against things that are wrong. And he said, trouble will be your ruin. It'll be your end. Fairness, on the opposite side of this. Fairness is the expression of human reasoning for a nation, and its application will lead to financial ruin. Where are we at today? $20 trillion in debt. Our nation, $20 trillion and increasing. I wonder if we haven't misapplied some of the principles of God's Word. And somehow we have become, instead of the head, we've become the tail. Yes. You know, my dad was telling me during he was training in boot camp, and they were training in these army tanks, and he said one thing I learned at driving an army tank is you don't want to be the last one in line because you eat everybody's dust. And I think it's that way in our spiritual life. When you're eating the dust all the time and you're getting the dregs all the time, let's stop and think, is there some place that I have failed God in? Is there some place that I have misapplied something? Is something in my life, is something not clicking, something not working? I keep struggling, but I just can't. Let's stop and say, Lord, is there a principle that I've left off? Is there something I'm failing to do? What's wrong with that? You know, sometimes turning the light back on myself is not an easy thing to do because it's so much easier to see the faults in others. But look, ask, Lord, help me to see mine. Another thing, number 8, justice is impartial. It is objective and non-emotional. Listen, justice is impartial. Why do they have the lady with the blindfold and she's holding a pair of balances? What's that the symbol of? We're not going to base our judgment upon how much you make. The balances are going to be held there regardless of your race, regardless of your color. We're going to be blindfolded. We're not going to see anything of who you are, if you're poor, you're rich. We're going to hold those scales out, and if we're going to take God's word, we're going to lay it there, and if there's something out of balance, it will be judged by that and not what we see. Our world's turning different. The little blindfold on the lady has been raised up. And she's, oh, that's the governor's son. You know, I heard something notable the other day. Someone told me that one of the representatives got stopped by the police and they looked on his license and saw his representative, and they knew that, you know, you're not supposed to ticket them. He said, you go ahead and give me the ticket. Go ahead and give me the ticket. I deserve it. Give it to me. I don't care who I am. I like that. Say, that speaks a lot to me. But what we have today is so many things. Well, hey, you know, don't you know who I am? You know, you can let me off of this. No, you're drunk. Man, you're drunk. What are you doing? I don't care who you are. Come on, Buster, you're going to jail. Cuff them up and throw them in the back seat and take them to jail. I got tickled the other night. They picked up this one guy, and he looked at me and he said, Father, help me, Father. I said, well, he knew I was a chaplain. He started calling me, Father, help me, help me. I said, listen, these guys are going to be fair with you. He was drunk. I don't know. He's just going on. But people just think they get this special, hey, you know, because you know who I am. You all know me. I've been doing good. I've been doing a lot of things. All, you know, come on, Father, help me out a little bit. How many excuses are we going to make before God? When, oh, Lord, help me. You know, I've been raised. I come up right among them, Lord. And expect God to overlook some of the big flaws and things He gave you opportunity to correct for years and years, and you just scoffed at that and shoved it off, and you treated ministers bad, and you said bad things against this one and that one, and you're going to come asking now for a little bit of help? No. Let's start getting things straightened up here before the judgment. We're going to be facing God here before long. We need to be concerned about some things. I'm troubled about, you know, I've said some bad things against some of the ministers, and I've done this and that, and I've caused trouble and wreaked a bunch of havoc among the people and stirred up dissensions and all these little things. You're not troubled about that today? Well, when you get to judgment, don't say that. Lord, you remember who I am? He's going to, I sure do know who you were. I watched all those secret little things you'd done. I seen all that little stirring up and things you did among the brethren. I know who you are. You know, I was reading the other day and they came into the wedding and there was a man who didn't have the garment on.
Yes.
Hey, what you come in here like that for? And he said he was speechless. It'll be the same thing at the judgment. We'll be speechless. God help us today. Justice is impartial. But fairness is partial. It is subjective. And it's based on our emotions and emotional considerations. And, you know, the reason they've done that and all our world is, folks, it's gone crazy. God help us today. Justice results in the swift prosecution of criminals. Listen to this now. Fairness results in the slow prosecution of criminals. Well, you might say, what's wrong with that? We don't want anything to go too speedy. There's something wrong. You ever get something to get in a situation and go, there's something wrong here. I can't put my finger on it, but there's something wrong. I'm telling you, there's something down deep in my soul that says we have strayed. We've erred from what is right. We've gone our own way. And we're reaping the fruit of our doings. Judgment is turned away backwards. Equity can't even enter. He can't come in and say, hey, let's be fair about this. Equity so far. Truth falls in the streets. And what do you have? Sin is a reproach to what? Any people. Any people. That's what we're finding. The prosecution of criminals, sometimes those things can go on for years, 10 years, 15 years, and they still appeal and appeal. And all it does many times is cause people to say, well, hey, if they got away with it, I can get away with it too.
Yes.
Lord, help us today. Justice limits the punishment of a criminal. Now listen, this is right. Justice limits the punishment of a criminal. But fairness results in the inconsistent punishment of a criminal. Now, if I were a police officer, I don't want to be. That is not my, I have no desire whatsoever. But if you go up and it's like one police officer in Los Angeles said one time, the people that I gave a warning to should have got a ticket, and the people I ticketed should have got a warning. I don't know how. It's a difficult place to be. And I was asked one time, well, chaplain, what do you want to do? What are we going to do with this woman? I don't know. He said, well, let's just flip a quarter. I dug in my pocket. Probably shouldn't be telling you this. I flipped a quarter. He said, tail she gets a ticket, head she don't. So she got a ticket. If you're speeding, we all love mercy, right? Young people, you're going to come to a place. You're going to go, whew, I just wasn't watching. I'm going 70 and a 40. I remember a message about mercy, and I sure need some now. Yeah, you do. You really need some mercy. Oh, there's a balance in everything. If we get used to always getting by with everything, when we get by, and people do that sometimes, they get by with this, and we get by with that, and pretty soon we become bolden. Last time they let me off. They're going to let me off again. You know, look who I am anyway. Then pretty soon someone says, son, you was doing 75 in a 40-mile-an-hour zone. You're going to get a ticket. Oh, it's like they're the worst person in the world. I can't believe they'd do that to me. And yet we broke the law. We broke the law. I hope none of you got a ticket coming to church this morning. I did not see any red lights. I did not see no one. I don't know anything about your situation. I hope you didn't. But there's a principle that I'm talking about here. I'm talking about the keeping in the ways of God. Justice and mercy is a beautiful thing. It's beautiful. But this fairness business, this new fairness thing it's not new really. It's always been around. There's been things, but it seemed like anymore, it's more and more happening. You take a person that has worked hard and achieved a lot of things. They have studied, they got their homework done. And then to put all these children in a class and to say, we're going to grade all of you on the curve now. The highest one of you, the one that studied the most, the one that hadn't studied at all, we're going to grade on the curve. Whoever got the highest, whoever got the lowest, we're going to balance them out, and everybody gets the same thing. The one that did nothing is going, hey, that's great. The one that did something, it's like that little motto I mentioned a while ago in Russia, you pretend to pay us, we'll pretend to work. It causes people to fall down to that kind of a low. Why even try anymore? Why even try? And somehow we want to put God in all this equation. We want to try to use Him. And when things are going well for us and we're doing what we should, and when we're not doing what we want Him to just overlook our sins. We want Him to overlook things all the time. And we get thinking this is what God is about. And it's such a muddled thinking. It gets to where things are so imbalanced. The Lord bless us today. Justice establishes God's view. This is number 11. God's view of what is essential for a nation to be successful. We read in Deuteronomy 28 a moment ago about what He said here that would make a nation successful. But on the other hand, fairness establishes man's view of what is essential for a nation to be successful. Man's view. Just, I think of the book of Psalms, and it said, why hath the heathen raged and the people imagined a vain thing? Why? And he said, we don't want this man to reign over us. We don't want to have these kind of restrictions put in our lives. We're free. Don't you know we come up in the 60s and the 50s and 60s? Man, we're free. That was the big movement back then. We're free. It's free love. It's free everything. Man, we're just all together in this whole deal together. So different, folks. So different. God wants us to be responsible people. He wants to keep things established. He will tell us what makes a person successful and what doesn't. He's established laws. Read Deuteronomy 28 again. Last thing I have to share with you. Justice allows an employee to be generous to those who are in special need. But fairness, on the other hand, legislates against an employer's generosity toward those who are in need. Have you ever seen that happen before? Here's a family that is in need of help. And an employer wants to help them out. Well, fairness will say, no, if you give that family $1,000, you give everyone on the payroll $1,000 because you don't want people to think that you're preferring them over these others. What a bind that puts in our system, you know, to take away that special help that someone could be blessed and given to a family. No, instead it's like if you give $1,000 to that family, you give $1,000 to the whole bunch. We've got to stay close to the Lord. I'm really concerned because these things are affecting us. They're affecting us. Fairness is something to watch out for. In children, they're watching sometimes too. Well, Mama, he done it and you didn't give him as hard a whipping as you gave me. Yeah, but Your mom knows all the things you was doing before that too. Maybe she lumped it all in and you got a whipping for more than just that one thing. But the children, I'm telling you, they watch us like a hawk sometimes. That wasn't fair. You didn't do that with us. And, you know, they're pretty sharp. They're pretty sharp. Well, it behooves us to be fair. I don't want to be unfair. That's not what this is about. I'm not talking about being unfair. But I'm talking about how God looks at things versus how man looks at them. And being careful that we watch our lives. I pray the Lord will bless us and help us today. This scripture again in Deuteronomy, it said here that these blessings would overtake thee. And I would pray that God would help the blessings of the Lord to overtake us, to take control of our life and to bless our time. May the Lord encourage us today. Thank you for your time. I hope that each of us will have that distinguishing. We'll look at Lazarus and say, well, life is not always fair anyway. Who said that life was going to be fair? Jesus never promised it would be fair. He never said everything would be all on the same level. He never said that. I have watched people that were mistreated, and they were people were very unfair to them. But I've watched those same people that took that unfairness and all, or the injustice, they took that and they made something out of that. And God used that thing that could have harmed them, and they could have gotten bitter over that. Well, I wasn't treated like that, and you know, I'm going to sue you. They took that unfairness and it developed a character trait in their life that was beautiful. And they prospered. And God blessed them. The new word today is, I'll sue you. I heard one time a pastor was told by a person that come into their place, if you don't give me a good room to stay in, I'll sue you. No, this wasn't in a far-off country. Right here in the United States. I know that personally. That person told them, if you don't give me a room better than that, I'll sue you. Wow. Where are we living? What's going on in our world? Lord, help us to wake up today. Help us to see personal responsibility means so much. Having the right spirit. Joseph, I could go down the line. Joseph, Jesus, he didn't have no fair trial. That wasn't fair the way they treated him. He didn't say, well, listen, I'm not going to the cross till we get this straight. He didn't do that. As a sheep was led to the slaughter, so opened he not his mouth. And he died for us. The just for the unjust. Thank you, Lord. Joseph was mistreated. Yes. Daniel, others were mistreated, but they didn't have that I'll sue you spirit. They didn't have that. That's right. They took things gracefully and they made something of it. God help us today. Amen.